just slowly feed from the bottle and refill the cup. It was fucking weird.
Drink candy.
That's
kind of
cool.
Yeah.
Did you just get a regular type Whopper?
With cheese.
With cheese. Yeah.
Delicious. I had a BK stacker. And it had bacon. I didn't know it did.
You had two BK stackers.
Yeah.
This is real.
Hey, there you go.
Lovely.
So those of us who are easily distracted are not distracted.
Basically. That and the screen adds heat to the apartment, which
yeah.
I do not need anymore.
Oh, Sprocket with the derby face makes me happy.
Sprocket took all day to dry out today.
Yeah, you suck.
When you said that, the first thing I thought of was Sprocket being an alcoholic who needed to dry out.
Bark.
Sprocket, go home. You're drunk.
I'm
Do you actually want this touching my microphone or no?
Not that intimate.
Not quite.
Dave, yours is making out with it as well.
Just barely being not touching it.
I'll get hers if you
get
his.
Okay.
Zippon. There.
Yay, thanks.
And then, Dave, you
can.
There you go.
Okay.
Just aim it towards your posture.
The rain in Spain falls mostly on your face.
It's mainly.
On your mama.
On your. Woo, damn, that got intimate.
Or
what was that? Was that like the distant tuba? Look out, a fat man's coming from a distance.
There we go.
I love the fan. It's like we're on the ocean and it's a breeze.
It is a nice breeze. Feels good.
Incredibly necessary considering it's 78 degrees in here.
Yay, summer!
And yeah, we haven't even given off our own body heat yet.
I'm rather comfy.
It'll go up a little bit more.
Hooray!
Hooray! Though it was funny that James like couldn't even almost give away those tickets.
Yeah, to the Phillies. I mean, it should have been a pretty easy go. You know, as he said in his text, he's like, you know, if you can't find someone, I'll gladly just, you know, I'll come. I'll just, you know, I'll skip this game. I'm like, bullshit, you will. Bullshit. Oh, I'm sick.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You're not James.
Yeah.
If James would have given me the tickets, I could have guaranteed the Twins a win.
Yeah.
Every time I've been given tickets, we win.
Huh.
It's so Scardy, true.
If you're listening... Give me season passes. We'll win.
though it's just if you receive the tickets or if you go to the game. Because if you get the tickets and you don't go to the game, do they still win?
Well, I don't waste my tickets.
This is true.
If you give me tickets, I will go.
More importantly, Gardy, if you're listening, thank you.
Yeah.
I'll be the one to say it. I don't care.
Let's see. I was actually going to look it up to see what the score was.
Could
it's top of the third, nil-nil. So.
We're still winning.
Well.
By not losing, that's a win in the Twins.
Fair enough.
Just keep the game cast on a little bit.
I like that you have the banjo ghost over there.
Yes, yes. It's, for some reason, Doug is stuck in a permanent Fonzie. It's like, yay! So he can't really support the banjo.
Yeah, I kind of wondered why, you know, I never heard of those figures before. Now I know.
And for some reason, he keeps getting really ghetto, like his shorts just kind of slowly sink.
He's sagging.
He wants to be pantsless.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Oh.
But didn't Quillman wear his underwear outside his pants?
Well, yeah, so it's
But the underwear is not keeping him on?
No, it isn't.
He needs some tighter
tighty-whities.
Just squirrel back?
No food. He hears the sound. He's right on the corner.
Hey, there are people. Where's the food? Do you want food?
Squirrel yeah. friend.
Oh, I do have food. I can spoil them today.
Ooh.
This Beep. Is why there's crazy squirrels in cities.
Because of Dan?
People nurture them.
People adopt them as their makeshift pets.
Oh, hey, buddy. Bye, buddy.
No,
yeah.
he's still here. He's waiting
he's
for Dan.
Right at the post.
Oh, he knows. He kn- oh, he's on the wall.
He's getting excited.
He doesn't like the sound, though.
He doesn't like the sound of the bag?
Of bags. If you like corn. Hey, what's up, dude?
I was like, you might want to close the screen. That's how you get an indoor pet.
Unfortunately, I feel like it would turn into an El Kabong moment and just like smack him with the ukulele and stop him.
You killed it! He'll be okay. Watch, it's he'll land on wood. He'll land on his feet.
El Kabong!
Have you named this squirrel?
Fatty. I did in the past because they had more distinct markings on them, or more so they had gotten into lots of scraps. So they had
war wounds.
Basically, so there were a couple of them that had like big gashes and stuff. And
good old Winky.
One of them was Lefty.
He had Lefty?
One was Lefty because on his right paw there's like a growth or something nasty.
Oh.
So it's just like, oh, Lefty, how did you make it up here with just three paws?
I am not an animal.
Oh, I am an animal. Damn it.
Oh, doesn't like corn chips.
Noted. Now you just look like a crazy dude who throws corn chips on your windowsill.
Oh, wait, no, I was lying. Got scared away.
Maybe
he's getting his girlfriend. They're going to come on a date.
Mm-mm.
Hey, buddy.
They do not share. At all.
Yeah, they're squirrels.
Well, no, I understand that. It's just one of those sad moments where, you know, if you throw a bunch of food to most other animals, they'll kind of commune for a second, and then they'll get defensive once there's not very much left.
Mm-hmm.
But for these, it's like, as soon as they both know there's food, they'll just chase each other off every single time. Nothing happens. Nothing.
So then a third squirrel should come and just eat it while the others are busy.
That third squirrel's name is you. Because you love corn chips.
Yeah, I even got the knockoff brand.
You should name him El Kabong.
Corn chips.
Ah, yes. Corn chip brand corn chips. The true cream of the crop.
Yes.
Oh, he's eating one. Totally eating it. He's chowing down.
Butt. Yeah, I think the vocalization is actually scaring him off. But that might be Hobo Joe.
Hobo Joe?
I did name one Hobo Joe. I don't know which one
it is.
Did
he have tiny gloves?
No, he was just one of them.
Tiny fingerless gloves.
Hobo like, Joe gonna die like Hobo Joe lived. With corn chips.
They'll come onto the ledge now and just kind of wander around, but there's one that will come up to the screen and actually like look in and kind of like bag a little bit. It's like, yep, that's Hobo Joe.
Oh, okay. Hobo Joe, the creeper.
The creeper, the beggar.
Hey, what you got in there? What you got in there?
Boom, fluoride in the water!
I lost my tinfoil hat when I started chewing it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You got a pretty El Kabong guitar.
I was thinking of everything that was within reach to smack, and that's the first thing I saw. So
Guitar
I
Hero!
El Kabong.
Kabang. Yeah, that one wouldn't come down. Just pull down the bookshelf. Just do it Super Shredder style.
Well, you have three El Kabong options that are viable right now. You've got the ukulele, you've got the Rock Band guitar, and the keytar.
I don't think the keytar really has the handle to...
It'd still be like a chair shot.
Yeah.
That's true. But
from where Dan's sitting, it's not an easy grab.
And even if the squirrel did come in, I'd probably do a second and a half of the 50s... old 50s lady on the table is like, oh, God. And then have to grab for something.
Get the broom! Oh, I got a great squirrel story for later.
Why not? For now? Okay. We could do squirrel stories now.
So, greatest mic check ever. So, this was before, well, I think it was before my time. I don't really remember it clearly, but I've heard the story many a time. And so, it goes way, way, way back, up, way, way, way up north, to the cabins.
To last week.
Yeah, no. And so my grandpa, my grandma, my mom, and my uncles were up at the cabin, and they were in Big Red, and they hey, buddy. Yeah, you got a corn chip. And easily distracted. Sorry about that.
We actually had an episode where toward the second half of it, we were just like, ooh, squirrel.
What?
Most of the time.
So they were up there. They were up north, and my grandpa went up into the attic, and he was walking around up there, and there's this little squirrel up there, and he's like, ah, crap, you know, I want to get that out before it starts, you know, munching on boxes and stuff that are up there. And so he shoos it out and get out of here. Finally gets it down, and, you know, he's chasing this thing around, chasing it around, and it goes right back up into the attic. He's like, son of a bitch, I'm going to get this stupid little squirrel. So he devises many a different contraption, Wile E. Coyote style, that fail time after time after time after time. Until finally he goes, I've got it. And he goes out behind the shed and he finds an old muffler. And he tosses some food into the muffler. And at the other end, he throws in a rag. It's blocky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he waits. And he waits. And he waits. And he waits. Until finally, the squirrel goes running into the muffler. He goes, I got you, you little bugger. And he shoves a rag in the end and he starts taken off just on a tear towards the water, and he picks it up above his head sacrificial style and hucks it out into the lake. Whoosh, that little bastard's gonna die, he's gonna drown. Or is he? Resourceful little bastard popped out one of the little rags, whoop, that came up to the surface, whoop, up came the second rag, whoop, up comes the squirrel, swimming for his little life, just paddling and paddling and paddling away. And my grandpa was angry, and he was pissed, so he went and got a broom and started swatting at the water, because he was going to take this damn squirrel down. And long story short, in the long run, my grandpa ended up more wet than the squirrel, and the squirrel just ended up on the dock kind of going, you know, kind of like doing his little evil paws, you know, like, yes, excellent. I have lulled them into a false sense of security.
See, when you said that there was one squirrel, I thought, like, he's going to follow it, turn a corner, and it'd just be like 1,000 squirrels just come out and just jump on it. It's like,
a la Han Solo on the Death Star, chasing down the stormtroopers.
More jumping, less shooting.
Right.
Or pouncing. Pouncing was what I was thinking of.
No. That one was more Uncle Tone and the chipmunks in the potato warehouse. He thought there was one. There was a nest. So he followed it up and was like, oh shit. There was like three or four up there. And they're like, you're invading our space. We're gonna eat your beard.
We're uncomfortable now.
He should have had Sprocket.
Yeah, Sprocket would have been fat off that meal.
Sprocket is the expert chipmunk hunter. No, the chipmunk hunter.
Really?
Oh, yes.
He's already.
How about squirrels versus chipmunks?
Currently, we have a collection of chipmunks that live at our house. Not in our house, at our house.
Okay.
They're and stuffed on the mantle.
And we don't have as many squirrels, but he will go after any small wiggly butt.
Varmint.
Wiggly butt rodents.
Makes sense.
He got one, Will. You were busy. One went into my mom's garage, and he saw it go in, and I have never heard such a clatter come from a garage before, but he came out and dropped it at my feet, and he was so proud. He didn't eat it. Just killed it and was proud about it.
This is for you.
I'm like, aw, thanks. You go inside. I'm going to throw this in the trash. There's no woods to toss it into anymore.
That's true.
Well, you could throw it on the neighbor's roof.
But all the neighbors are really cool now.
Oh, okay, well.
The new neighbors are friendly.
Oh, good.
Yeah, no, it's
and we don't have the pool equipment to launch things with.
never mind. I'm not going to say names. But, man, we got so many frogs on their roof that summer, and it was a hot one. Except for the one that I hit the porch window with. made a satisfying... Duck, duck, duck. Goose. That's what
I like the mental image of taking the pool skimmer, the net on a stick, and just going, hoo-cha! All catapult style.
You saw me do that many a time.
I remember.
See, I was even imagining, like,
it's a fun
building
memory.
A contraption where it even has the right. It was like, yeah.
What the hell is that? A trebuchet.
We got bored. A pool skimmer, some 4x4s, and a bit of time.
Dave.
What?
You do not get to go on pumpkin chunking with a pool skimmer trebuchet.
Adam, we're going on a road trip, buddy.
All right.
Pumpkin chunking.
I'm for it.
Pumpkin chunking?
Pumpkin chunking is a national event that usually takes place around the suburbs of Seattle, Washington, in which they develop mechanisms to catapult or chunk pumpkins to a far, far distance.
Carved or?
No. Just whole pumpkins. There's pneumatic, which uses air, you know, the air-powered. There's trebuchets, and then there's manual force pullback, which you'd use like a bicycle to like wind up a rope and then, you know, fly.
They're kind of Wile E. Coyote contraptions.
They had one where the arm went farther than the pumpkin.
And nice. The Mythbusters lab crew hosts the show.
Oh, cool.
But
fun.
The first year they did it, it was Brad from Whose Line Is It Anyway who hosted it.
Brad Sherwood.
Yes. Which was really weird.
Have you seen the previews for the new Whose Line that
I posted?
Doesn't look as good.
Nah. Oh, my God. Colin Mochrie and Ryan Stiles look so old.
They've aged.
And then Wayne Brady looks flawless. The same. It's like, you son of a bitch. You and your beautiful... beautiful smooth skin.
It feels forced. And plus I've been binging on all the stuff that's on YouTube so much that it's
the old one. Yeah.
Really easy to compare.
Did you know that they've released chunks of it on DVD?
I've heard, and that's where like all those bloopers online came from. Just they extracted it from that.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. And they're not too expensive, but I hear the video quality kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's all pre-HD.
Yeah. Well, it's also, it's conversion from VHS.
Oh, is
so
it?
So it's like the tick.
Is my stuff?
Wow.
Yeah, it's like the tick on DVD when they did that. Like, there was huge issues where people were like, A, we're missing two episodes. B, why does it, like, skip around? And why do I need a tracking button on my DVD player?
Worth a try.
Yeah. Could be fun. Or just watch it on YouTube.
Basically, that's what I was thinking too.
Indeed.
So, what's the deal with the new Whose Line? Is it?
It's hosted by
I don't
Aisha
even know.
Tyler.
Yeah, and it
she's one of the voices on Archer.
Right, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. And it went with the class. So you have the classics coming back. So you have Ryan Stiles, you have Colin Mochrie, and you have Wayne Brady, and then you have a rotating in fourth member.
Kind of like what they more or less did in way back
then. They usually had three locks, and then they had one
bagel.
Yeah.
Fair enough,
locks. We like bagel. Yeah, I gotcha.
But yeah, and it's on the CW, right?
Which that should be enough right there to tell you of the quality.
Yeah, there are outtakes from the original where they make fun of the WB, which is essentially the CW, so...
Good time!
Not just essentially, it is. It's,
yeah.
It's just the renamed.
Well, it's that kind of
who's
hybrided with UPN, isn't it? Like, they kind of had a weird offshoot baby.
I don't even remember what happened.
I thought they, like, CW was a conglomerate effect.
It basically was... it was the two networks coming together because UPN was no longer UPN.
Yep.
So it combined with the WB, and they were like, well, we can't have this be the WB anymore because it's not really just Warner Brothers. So
CW
was born.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
With such hits as One Tree Hill.
And, like, it seems like they promote a lot of their other CW shows on... Whose Line? Or at least through that clip that you posted about the 90210.
Yeah, it was the get a sneak peek while watching the rehash 90210. And so they did riffs on themes from 90210. And it was,
you know, no crowd participation.
Well, that's why it felt forced.
Well, exactly. It felt like a promo within a promo that really detracted from the quality.
And, you know, you have Aisha Tyler being the laugh track where it's like, ha! Oh my. And it's just like, oh, son of a bitch. Couldn't you at least get the guy who did Archer?
Well, no, she's funny. It's reading a script.
Yeah.
She's not comfortable yet.
It's still.
How can you have scripted improv?
You know, well, her part is.
Yeah, she's the card reader.
Let's put it this way. You know it's bad when you're like, I miss Drew Carey.
Like, yeah, but then he got all skinny and Price is Right-ish. Yeah.
Well, and then the hard thing is half of the original show was, let's make fun of Drew Carey's weight and having three TV shows.
Yep.
And
or Colin Mockery's baldness.
Yep.
Or Ryan Stiles' gigantic figure.
Shoe collection.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah, and his nose.
They meant his sock collection.
What?
I
just remember, the blue wingtips that he wore that were...
Oh, yeah.
Like, they made fun of him for the entire episode on
he
it.
He had ridiculous... My favorite episode... Well, one of my favorite episodes is still the Robin Williams episode. Just because he's so, like...
Hairy?
Well, he's hairy, but it's also the thing of, like...
He's short.
It's when he had bleached, like, buzz-cutted hair and stuff. And it's just one of those things where it's like, are you sure you're sober right now? Because I'm pretty sure, you know, I'm a little... you know, backstage. Like, it's like, dude, wipe the powder from your upper lip, man.
Could have been.
You never know. And now he's got a TV show now, too.
Really?
Yeah, him and Sarah Michelle Gellar have a show on CBS.
That is a weird combination.
Yeah, and they're father and daughter combo who run a ad agency.
Okay.
It's really weird looking.
What's it called?
I think it's like Guess Who's Back or something like that.
Are you sure that's not just the first tagline? Because then it cuts to Robin Williams and Sarah Michelle Gellar.
I don't know. I just know that it's them and they're like an ad agency. And it's really weird because I'm still sitting there going, it's Mrs. Doubtfire and Buffy. Like,
yeah.
Something's going to go terribly, terribly wrong.
Maybe Allison Hannigan will come back.
Oh, if only.
You know, I Met Your Mother is ending soon.
It's true. Oh.
Really?
The Crazy Ones.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It looks not impressive.
I watched the trailer for it. I mean, if nothing else, it'll be good to watch like the first two episodes and go, oh, I miss Mork.
Yeah. The Crazy Ones, a comedy from producer David E. Kelly, stars Robin Williams and Sarah Michelle Gellar as father-daughter ad execs. That's the entire synopsis.
Yep.
Way to go, honey. You knew the entire thing.
Hooray!
No stone unturned.
Yes, I get this show.
I think I get what's going on here. You're related. And you both work in an ad agency?
With what? Zany father-daughter antics. Look out!
Yo.
Banana peels everywhere.
Probably.
Stupid boyfriends. There's going to be stupid boyfriends if there's father-daughter antics.
Yeah, there's going to be the fatherly confrontation kind of thing.
Hey, Dad, here's my new boyfriend, David Schwimmer. Yeah, I know. Weird to think about, right? David Schwimmer.
Yeah, kind of thinking, what do I know from him other than Friends, which is nothing.
Saving Private Ryan.
Really?
Yeah, he was in that one, and he was in...
Really?
What is it? Sons of Our Father or something like that? He was in a bunch of, like, military shit, where it was just like, but you're David Schwimmer. You're just the schmuck who had the pet monkey from Friends.
Yeah.
Little did we know, he could play a schmuck with a gun.
Who was he in Saving Private Ryan? I'm trying to...
I think he was just, like, one of those, like, random... like lieutenants or something in the background. Maybe it wasn't Saving Private Ryan. It was
in Red Line.
Maybe it was one of like the big blockbuster military movies where it was just like, what in like the blue hell?
Now you've got me curious.
Look it up. I know he was in it was like the HBO series
Band of Brothers.
Yeah, he was in that one as well.
Oh.
Yeah, because I kind of went through, was like, oh, hey, I know that guy. I kind of did a Lincoln cameo search, but through Saving Private Ryan way back when. It's like, oh, yeah, it's that guy and that guy and that guy.
It was one, well, because I remember seeing him on some of that stuff when my dad would be watching stuff, and it was just like, isn't that Ross?
Oh, man. Known for Friends, Madagascar, Madagascar 2, Madagascar 3.
I didn't say he was notable in any of these.
I'm seeing if I can find those. There, he's not.
Band of Brothers.
Yep, Band of Brothers.
Thin Pink Line. What?
The porno alternative.
ER. Oh, and I'm back into the 90s already.
Me too.
I don't know.
He was on Blossom.
Yeah, he was.
We are
the Wonder
scrolling
Years.
At the same pace, aren't we?
Just about.
Yep.
Me too.
He was a director on Joey.
Oh, not to be noted.
I'm trying to remember what it was then.
Probably just Band of Brothers.
I could have sworn it was in a movie, though, too.
The Thin Pink Line.
I don't think my dad
What's that one about?
There it is. It's a comedy that does have Jennifer Aniston in it, too.
Oh. Dan.
Yes?
Your friend's back.
I saw.
But he's right there.
I can't find a good description. User review. Yeah, there's actually no description next to it. User reviews. Can't believe it got big name actors. Pretty funny. It doesn't say any.
No happy medium.
Nothing informative on there, but Jennifer Aniston and Margaret Cho, David Cross.
What is Margaret Cho doing now?
Probably
her
more
show got
stand-up.
Canceled.
Yeah,
she was on a show.
Will Ferrell,
really?
Janine Garofalo.
Wow.
Is this like The Aristocrats?
No, because I'm scanning through people who I don't recognize as well. Phil LaMarr, Mike Myers. What the hell is this?
A pleasant surprise.
This would be an excellent movie bluff movie if we actually knew it.
The thin pink line. Man. Strange.
I actually did do Build a Title quite a lot with some of my buddies out in California. They had never heard of that game before. So we played it quite regularly when we'd get together. It became fun.
I remember that really epic game.
On the way to C2E2. On the way to
yeah.
That, oh.
That went on forever.
We had to break it into chapters
yes,
for the name
because
we were like, okay, it's going to take us 15 minutes just to recite this damn thing.
if only that recording had worked.
Yeah. That would have been a long-ass episode.
Yes, indeed.
Because that was from like the Illinois state border or state line all the way to Chicago. Like, I think we cut out at O'Hare.
Pretty much.
Because we had to pick up Samir, I think.
Yeah.
Here's the entire synopsis on Wikipedia.
Oh.
The Thin Pink Line is a 1998 film directed by Joe Dietel and Michael Urpino. The title is a parody of Errol Morris's documentary The Thin Blue Line, which raised questions about the conviction of a prison inmate on death row.
Oh. So it is kind of...
No. The title is a parody.
Yeah.
And that's... then it talks about what the... Thin Blue Line was about. It doesn't say anything.
Fantastic. So nobody saw this movie.
Is it available on Netflix?
I doubt it.
No. Although Tron Uprising is available on Netflix and made me so happy.
So is Magic School Bus.
Oh, yes.
Which we should save for that. So things sounding good, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So beverage, bathroom, etc.
Yeah. And let's be quiet for a moment so I can kind of see what the...
ambience.
Background noises.
Yeah. And if anyone would like to try some, I made some brown bread.
Is it brown?
Kind of.
Is it bread?
So far.
Hot damn. You did it right, Dan. You did it right.
Just let it go, Etta.
I mean, it's there. The white noise will be very soothing for our listeners.
Yeah.
And potentially put them to sleep.
Eh? Better than the thing falling down and taking us out and putting us all to death.
What's that?
Oh, is that your brown bread?
Gracias.
Nice and warm.
Everybody gets a slice.
Yep, that's bread.
Yeah.
Well done.
I'm making tomato basil soup tomorrow, so I need
Good call.
So you're just being all domestic.
I made Burger King.
Yay.
I made Potbelly.
Ooh. Yeah, I was going to say, what were you doing over at Eden Prairie?
Mm-hmm. Katie and I had some shopping to do.
What kind of shopping? Puppies.
She was looking for a dress and shoes to wear to the wedding and a new pair of jeans. We also found a birthday present for Emily. So.
Yeah. Here we go. It's not bad.
It's good.
Good.
I like the flavor.
I made one ugly-looking loaf, so I knew I'd have one that I could definitely eat now, and then a better-looking one for tomorrow.
It's very dense.
Oh, yeah.
Be really good if you make it a little bit better. Slice it up, toast it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good dipping bread.
Yes, that's what I was hoping for. Kind of a sponge bread. Spongy.
Dipping bread.
Yes, it has a nice rebound to it when I squish it.
It's good elasticity.
Yeah.
Or insulation.
Oh, potential. Yeah.
Mm, I can taste the asbestos.
So warm and itchy.
If there's a cold snap, you can make yourself a...
Just it really clings to your ribs.
Just cover your windows parka. In it. No worries. Just brick it. With some honey mustard mortar.
If he puts it on the windows, the squirrels will come in force and eat his insulation.
More friends! Then you eat the squirrels.
Oh, as hunting tone style.
I have had a dream to get those hamster track things and just somehow get it so it goes like out the window. So they're still like technically...
Contained,
but just like go out, around... And then back out again.
See, but you know that one tube, the weakest link, would break in the middle of the night, and you'd hear like right next to your ear, and you'd be like, "Son of a bitch!"
Actually, no. My concern was cleaning it.
Oh, they're free. They're in the kitchen.
Yeah, no. I would super glue that thing shut if I had the opportunity, or like mount each piece up individually and just have them connected.
Time for another good idea, bad idea. Good idea, not putting a tube for squirrels to run around in your apartment. Bad idea, putting a tube for squirrels to run around through your apartment.
What? It just reminds me of my orthodontist had a train that would go...
For squirrels?
No, just a train.
Did he get it from Perkins and Chan?
I don't think so.
Because they totally had that in the kids' room where they would play Darkwing Duck while you ate... Which I always thought was funny because we couldn't ever watch TV while we ate unless we were at Perkins.
I was just really excited because all of a sudden I just pictured a squirrel riding a tiny model train around.
With the hat and everything.
Yeah,
woo-woo. I'm sure there's a video of this somewhere, huh?
Probably.
Dan, you're not the first one.
Wow.
So what'd you do on your vacation? I stuffed a squirrel. It rides my train now. Beg pardon? I have a model train with a dead squirrel with a hat. He's tipping it ever so... Jauntily. Oh,
can't make it through the tunnel anymore, though. Yeah.
He doffs his chapeau, but he falls off every time he goes through the Miller Tunnel.
You guys just reminded me of the electric race car track that I used to have.
I had one of those, too.
Pull the trigger! Left turn, left turn, left turn, left turn.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But I made some pretty awesome tracks with that thing. Oh. I might have to...
See if it still works.
Yeah.
Every now and then, I'd go down in the basement and I'd just see one of the guns sitting in a Tupperware box up on a high shelf. I was like, "Oh man, I'm gonna get that down and play with it." And it's only the gun. There was nothing else left of that track.
Damn it!
God. Yeah. Though I remember I definitely burned myself a couple times on
the track.
Conductors at the bottom.
Yeah.
Like I'd pick up the car, I'd be like, "Ooh, my car was the best."
I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it was one of my cousins decided that, oh, if it works on this track, know where it'd work really good? The train track. And he brought it out to the train track next to my grandma's house. And it did not work at all.
Wait. What?
So, okay. The little car.
No, I'm trying to comprehend the logic.
Oh, yeah, me too. I don't know why, but I just remember hearing about him sitting there for, like, an hour. Just being like, come on, come on. I'm like, hey, not that kind of train.
See, I was picturing a model train track, because I think that'd be crazy if it did work.
Oh, that'd be awesome. No, the actual, like, you know, 3.5-inch wide metal bar, the train wheel.
Yeah.
Kind of used to melt the pennies together on.
See, that would be one of the best things where a train would come by shortly thereafter. Crunch!
My car lost.
And then you see a squirrel driving the train with the remote.
You can take him, car! You can Oh, God.
I'm picturing my method of fighting a train with a little electric car would be just throw it at it. Oh.
Yeah.
I lost my T-Bird. My T-Bird.
One of my cars that I got for the set was a little racing BMW, which was really cool. And it had light-up headlights, too.
Dang.
It's pretty sweet.
We had little red and yellow chunks of plastic that roughly looked like Lamborghinis, but they weren't really Lamborghinis. They were just, like, sanded off in the front.
Yeah, I had red and yellow, but you could take off the top part.
Oh, and swap them?
And swap it for more of like a sporty 4x4 kind of jobby.
Cool.
Yeah, but it was the same track, so it didn't matter.
Left turn, left turn, left turn. And it all came down to who had the faster trigger finger. Now!
Yeah, who cheated and always went a little bit early.
Yeah. Well, and it was also knowing how fast you could go through the different parts of the track without...
Wiping out.
Completely. Yeah, wiping out. Going off track.
I always tried to jump the corner. Like, I can do it! Nope, that car's going to start a fire.
It's like live-action Mario Kart.
It is, except less fun.
Yeah, and less control. And less turtle shells.
And more dangerous live electric.
More things that parents could trip over as they're walking through the room.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of fun thinking back on some of those toys where you're like, whoa, we were allowed to play with that shit? Like, guns. Little packets of gunpowder that you put into devices to smash a hammer on.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. I never watched anyone, like, chew on one of those. I feel like that should have happened
during my lifetime. I'm pretty sure Ty McCall had to do it. Like, Ty, if you're out there listening, dude, you did some dumb stuff, but man, you were an adventuresome fellow.
Eating gunpowder.
I just...
Yeah, because there was the roll, which would be easier to chew on, or the little
six
shooter.
I remember Kanicki would take like the whole rolls and bring them outside with a hammer and just go, ah! And make this loud boom, because, you know, it was the equivalent of like, you know, a 20 cal, like little bullet, you know, just scorch the shit out of the cement. His mom would come out, what was that?
Nothing.
Did you go through all your caps again?
Yes. Well, I was just remembering when we would pour out all the little snappers into one little packet, and then just...
Oh, Tone's favorite thing to do? Throw them in the fire.
Ha!
And be like, hey! It's like, oh, shit! You just exploded a log.
Even better, in stupid kid stuff, I did something fantastically stupid that I just remembered now.
Uh-oh.
I tried to build a bomb. And you know what I use as fuel? Because this made sense at the time.
Cooking oil?
Hot sauce.
Ooh!
The bottle had fire on it, therefore it had to assist with making fire.
Science says this will work!
Looney Tunes logic.
Exactly, so we took a 2-liter bottle.
Fire makes it faster.
Dan, and I think this was inspired by your... not Mystery Bus...
What?
Magic School Bus viewings.
No, I feel like
real
they didn't
science
go into
from that.
Like a terrorist cell episode where they learn how bombs are made.
Arnold, jihad.
I knew I should have gone on this jihad today.
Oh, Miss Frizzle. Arnold's gone over to the Taliban.
Miss Frizzle, I can see your face.
Oh, yeah? I can see my ankle, too.
Slut.
But it was just like, I guess I better watch Magic School Bus on Netflix now.
But yeah, it was just like I had a string and we had knocked over a picnic table and we were all hiding behind it. We were trying to light the string and it wouldn't start on fire. So nobody died.
I remember when we did discover fire and learn to melt army men.
Oh, yeah, I was like, I remember Kanicki, Seth Larkin brought over a bag, like a gallon bag, that was like a third filled with black gunpowder. And he was like, we're going to blow this bitch up. It was the Barbie dream house.
I remember that story.
And I just remember like poking the holes in the sides of the walls and you know, pouring that shit in. And we tipped over a picnic table because, you know, that'll save us.
Right.
And that thing blew. Oh, my God. It was loud and it stunk. And there were little chunks of pink and white and purple plastic.
Shrapnel.
If I remember correctly, there was some, I think he filled up one of, like, the Ken dolls. Like, he put some gunpowder in one of those, so they were, like, the hostages inside. I just remembered some piece of it got stuck in the picnic table, where it was one of those Die Hard moments where you're like, we could have died! Actually, we would have been like, dunk! Oh, that was hot and plastic.
Though, again, I... in my mind, picture the twang and just kind of everyone peering. I was like, whoa.
Ken, no.
But,
One of my favorite fireworks things to watch growing up was one of my cousins had one of those kind of mech warrior things where it had the cockpit that you could open up and put a little figure inside.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like the size of a regular action figure. It wasn't super tall or anything, but...
oh, no.
There was we opened up the cockpit and put a kind of firecracker in there that sparks first.
Yeah.
So this mech warrior thing, it started sparking and then it lit on fire, burned for a while, and then exploded. It just looked so cool. I wish I had a video of it.
Now, Adam, if we called the toy hunter, you could know how much that little adventure cost you.
Probably not too much.
No, that was mostly a hunk of plastic to begin with anyway. And it didn't even have movable arms or legs. It was just like